The Lord grows very good crops in the world, and we get to eat those if we're wise to stay healthy. And He grows great crops in our lives to honor Him. The Bible says Jesus appointed us to bear fruit. In other words, good things happening, really He brings them about so that the fruit will last and He will be honored. And so just thinking about the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, God's Spirit, we don't have these qualities on our own. He grows love in our lives. He grows joy in our lives. I don't know about you, but on my own, naturally, I'm not that joyful of a person. If you look at photos of myself when I was a little kid, when it was sunny outside, I was crying. It was too sunny. Rainy outside, crying. Can't go out and play. Always a reason to find something broken about the world. And the Lord gives me a chance to have joy in my soul. So I'm very, very thankful for the change that He's obviously trying to still make and faithful to make. Years ago, Larry Crabb interviewed a 17-year-old young woman who was having a rough time. Larry Crabb is a Christian counselor. And the young woman was suffering from anorexia. That's a life-threatening combination of habit and illness. And the young woman was 30 pounds underweight, ran 5 miles a day, did 500 sit-ups, ate a minimal amount of food. She told Dr. Crabb in a determined voice, "I know you're going to try to get me to eat more, but I won't do it because I'm still not who I want to be. Still not who I want to be. Working on that," she thought. She found no joy in God. She only found joy in the idea of being thin. And unbelievably, there's websites and chat rooms on the internet that help anorexic people stay anorexic in some manner. One site said, "Anorexia is a lifestyle. It is a friend, not a problem." Another site said, "Join us and become perfect." Another woman wrote on her site, "To me, my anorexia is everything. It's my life. Gives me a great sense of control, achievement. Makes me feel happy when nothing else will do." Now, the honest woman who wrote that could have said, "My sin is my happiness when nothing else will do." And the sermon is not a sermon about anorexia, but it is a sermon about joy that comes from God versus us looking for joy in something ultimately other than God. Okay, what is that anorexia for us that we go after? Some good part of creation that we say, this is my happiness. It means everything to me. And without this, whether it be a sin or actually something fairly good, when we put it as a source of our joy, that thing ends up destroying us and we don't know the joy that Christ would gladly give us from Himself. So, making that shift in our souls, we hear Jesus' word. Augustine said this, you were created for joy in God, so the other idols just won't do. Or all idols just won't do. Jesus spoke to us in the passage, and He would for the young woman, I'm sure. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Now, you think of the Father's love for the Son, Christ passing that on to us. Greatest love the world has ever known. It's 100% intensity, 100% affection, 100% faithfulness. God on our behalf. Really great. The woman thought she needed to be thin for her to love herself or for others to love her. You and I might put something else in there. We think we have to be this way, achieve this thing in order to be loved by ourselves or by others or by God. That would be missing out on the love of Christ. Jesus said, "Remain in my love. Make yourself at home in it. Get used to the love of God. Obey my commands and you'll always feel at home in my love," He said. We don't want to have a relationship with God where we say, "Lord, Lord," but we don't do what He tells us to do. That would be calling Him not Lord, Lord. And trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus or to experience that joy that He has and wants to pass along with us. The Lord goes on to say, I've told you these things so that my joy would be in you and your joy complete. Okay, so that's Christ is saying he's joyful. He wants to share that joy with us. And our joy will be contented or well-rounded at that point. And if we could think of the Lord at the beginning of the passage, not only was he talking about his love for us, but he said he was like the vine and we are the branches, so we connect with him. So in terms of getting joy in our life, our job is not to produce joy on our own, okay, by our activities. Our job is to connect with the vine, and he will give us his joy. Okay, so if you're like me, got all those photos in your past or maybe in your present, your soul is just, you know, it's not a joyful place before God. He says he'll give us his joy, and our joy will be complete. So our job, what? Not to produce joy, but to connect with Christ. It gets us off of the anorexic treadmill, as it were, thinking that other things will bring us happiness. Jesus goes on to say, no one will take your joy away. What a great promise. And old song says, the world don't give it, and the world can't take it away. We're glad about that. What are some of the things we substitute for the joy of Christ? This is sad and sinful and insulting to God when we put something above him as our source of, that's my whole life, no matter what we name. I'm going to put some things on the board. You let God, you know, point out to you what you put before God so you can get it back under God and throw yourself into connecting with him and still serve him in these areas. I'll show you many examples here, not to look at all the ways we fall down and all the idols we can have, but some fairly main ones, I think. Remember, the young lady said to me, anorexia is everything. Some would say to me, comfort is everything. I can identify with this. Sometimes I think, unless I am comfortable, I'm just not, you know, I'm restless and I rely on outward comfort. I got all excited when we were singing that song. I sing the mighty power of God. He filled the world with food. Okay? I got to start thinking ho-hos, Twinkies, comfort, you know, ding-dongs. There they are. Putting that as a source of my joy, bad idea. Bad idea. Forgetting God provides better things, and even that too. But another thing we could put before the Lord, joy. To me, success is everything. And when we try to do that on our own, we define our own success, which is a mistake, and we forget about the Lord. The psalm says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And being successful is really doing the will of God. Okay, that's your definition of success if you're wondering, you know. I want to be successful in life. I really do. God says, I really want you to be successful. And Lord, what does that mean? He says, follow my will. You know, trust my son. And then you'll have more success than you can handle. For some, this is a rare idol nowadays. About five or six of you have this one. To me, work is everything. Work is a blessing, but it was meant to be a act of worship where we say, I honor God by what I do. This is a common one. I could identify with this. To me, family is everything. Remember, our family is a gift from God. But if we even put family at the foundation of our life, we're friends. You say, I don't like my family, but I like my friends. That would be putting people before the Lord. And we serve God first in order to serve people well. So, again, you thank the Lord for the family, but to put it under Christ, otherwise, really the worst thing you could do for your family is to put them first in your life. You will drive them crazy They don't want to be your God. They were never meant to be your God. But they were meant to be the blessing God brings into your life. And here's some other ones. I could identify with this one. To me, fun is everything. I'm all about fun, but by the end of the day, if I don't see Christ as the point of my source of my joy, there's nothing that the world has that is going to give me fun. Fun has to be an attitude of gratitude and celebration because Christ gives us joy. Here's another one I could get into. To me, relationships are everything. If all of life was just sitting around holding hands, singing Kumbaya, I would say this is fantastic, you know. Let's just eat marshmallows and feel good the rest of our lives. But unless relationships are combined with the truth of God's word and the motivation to serve, of course, we would get lost in friendship building without the Lord. Here's a common one. To me, control is everything. I've often prayed, Lord, can I be the Pope just for 1 week? I would do all ex cathedra. And we have to, just a side note, you have to give credit to the popes who I don't think they recently haven't done any infallible pronouncements. Does anybody know about that? Any infallible pronouncements recently? And I was going to say, the Lord has left all the infallible pronouncements up to us. Is that right? No. We don't want to be that way. Unless we're quoting the Bible, we have no infallible pronouncements. Okay. So that's good to know. Here's another one. Sport is a great, Paul said it's of some benefit, you know, and you can learn from the boxer and the runner and so on. But don't make it first. You'll have a lot of aches and pains by the time you're 30. How did this one sneak in there? To me, church is everything. The people serve Christ. If we say, I'm into the church only. I'm a church worshiper. I worship church. Church has to be like, this is my church. I hear this. And I was wondering, wait a minute. What do you mean your church? If you mean you're connected to the people, that's great. But if you mean that it has to be like you want it, ooh, man, you're never going to be joyful. Okay, let Christ, he says, my joy will be in you, your joy will be complete. And then here's some common ones, spending, saving, power, to me, I am everything. All errors and sins of creation, one way to look at it is often we approach God and say, Lord, to be joyful, what I would like is to have you and the blessings that you bring. Dear Lord, I follow you for blessings in this life. I follow you for blessings in this life. And if you give me the blessings, I'll be joyful. This is what I'm counting on. I mean, why wouldn't I follow God? You know, I'd be looking for blessings. And so God would tell us in his word that we seek first his kingdom, of course, and the joy comes from Christ, so that he will be our joy whether blessings come or not. It's a hard lesson to know, but it is so true. People in the Old Testament discovered it. A guy named Habakkuk said, you know, even if there's no cattle in the stall or fruit on the vine or nothing good is happening around me, yet I'm going to have a lot of joy from God. That's a fantastic lesson that the Lord can give us. And he will provide that. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, I think pretty timely in 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking about the resurrection, and he says, if we're only in this life, what's life all about? Life is all about this life, right? But if we're only in this life, we follow Christ or trust in him, we are what? We're the most pathetic bunch on the planet. I just follow God for what he can give me right here. You see, Paul said, you don't know. He rose from the dead to give you, I'll give you life forever instead. I really wanted 90 years of blessing from God. Instead, he gave me eternity with himself. Oh, I'd be glad to have forever with the Lord. And so to know the joy of Christ, he said, you know, my joy will be in you, your joy complete. He says it in chapter 16, no one will take your joy away. We could say, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my all. Sometimes I just have to stop and along with you and say, Lord, remind me you're my joy. And grapevines are important, cattle, what's going on around us, very important. God has providential say in those things. But I got to have you as my joy because all these other things are, you know, I'm more unpredictable than the weather itself. I picked some photos of joy that are to illustrate the joy of God in our lives. So see this as your soul up here on the screen and have the joy, joy, joy down in your heart. Remember that these are a gift from God. The foundation or catalyst. Remember, too, the connection with obedience. Pretty hard to have the experience of knowing Christ's joy when you're disobeying God. Because we're saying, don't want God, therefore we're going to really say, I don't want his joy. But if we want God, want to do what he wants us to do, joy. I've never been unjoyful when I follow the Lord. Should have never obeyed God, you know. He just gave me a bunch of headaches. Well, certainly the difficulties came, but at least we could live with ourselves, right? And at least we could live with God to trust and obey no other way. But here's some photos. Again, they're just to remind us this is what our soul could look like. Those are some scripture. This was a Pulitzer Prize winning photo in the 60s. Soldier returning home. And you see the happiness on all the faces. The five family members giving thanks, you might say. I'm sure the soldier was very, very joyful there. But the verse, rejoice with those who rejoice. If blessings aren't coming your way, just look around. They're coming somebody's way. Just run over to the person and give them a hug. Okay. If God is joyful, we could be joyful. I like this one. This is joy. And the little one is thinking, I think, you know, what kind of creature is this? But from the mouth of children, God has ordained praise. When we have the joy of Christ, I think we look like this little one here. And then let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Even cats there. Somebody sharing good news of Christ, I bring you good news of great joy. Remember who said that? The angels said that. When they were telling the shepherds, hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. So if we tell somebody else, hey, you know, Jesus, he's a great Savior. He can help you all, pray for you, however you want to say it. We bring good news of great joy to people. That's the truth. The response is not... not on us. The privilege of sharing is the opportunity. The joy of Christ, Jesus, others, and yourself. When you look at the flag, I think we feel joy. Joyful are the people whose God is the Lord. That still rings true. You will fill me with joy in your presence, God says in Psalm 16. I like this one. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. Mary said that. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's a Christmas prophecy, as Isaiah was talking about the birth of Jesus. Joy to the world. Joy in your soul. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. So all the nations happy about the Lord. Hey, this is virtually fulfilled now because there's Christians in every nation at this point in history. That's so rare. And of course, certain tribes are maybe isolated, but the nation itself has believers. I will go to God, my joy and my delight. This is, this is how worship could be. Sometimes our hearts break in worship. We don't want to minimize that. Crying is, and saying, God, help me, is sometimes the best way to worship God. But these ones here were glad about God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. He has made us glad. Our souls, again, could be like that on a steady basis. God has come to set the prisoners free. Just two more. Gladness and joy will overtake them. If we're not joyful, just say, Lord, you know, you're going to have joy overtake me and gladness overtake me, because I we can't produce those things. We can only connect to God so we can have them. Do you think this woman had an easy life? Health maybe not the best, pretty simple clothing, a lot of joy probably from the soul to the countenance there. I think this was from a Joy in God website. And then last one, the joy of the Lord is your strength in terms of serving. You can serve with God. You know, as you go to study, as you help somebody else, you hit the gridiron in there for the victory. And serving to bless others. And God gives, he's the strength of our lives. So the promise from Jesus is, he tells us he loves us. He says, obey me, your joy will be complete. The joy he'll give us from himself, not from ourselves. And we ask him for this, that he would grow this fruit in our lives and in my life again. Too rare, but God is faithful. There's some in there. You got to look a little bit. But let's pray together. Lord, we have no real joy in our lives unless we receive you. And we would be at peace with God because you died on the cross for us, rose from the dead. So we say, be our Savior, be our Lord. Might that be true for anybody here just uncertain about eternity and their sins forgiven? They can leave today saying, my sins were forgiven by Jesus and I belong to him now forever. And give us all the fruit of your Spirit, love, joy, and others that we are thankful for. So keep us glad to honor yourself and to bless others in some way. Help us to do this also, Lord, if you'll let, not with our head in the clouds, that we look like we're high or something and people can't relate to us, but with our feet on the ground so that it might be a genuine witness for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.